start off really quick. A big milestone is coming up in my life. No, whoa. Only somebody crazy would have five. Ah, I'm just kidding. Seven? Well, I'm just kidding, Chelsea. I'm just kidding. A big milestone coming up. In less than a month, it's mine and Charity's 20th anniversary. So y'all congratulate her for putting up with me. It's impressive. It sounds really silly, but something we used to do early in our marriage, we would do it every now and then. There was this little, that'd be fun. There was this little rubber lizard. It's like a little toy, and we would hide it somewhere. And so I would be like looking, go to my computer, move my mouse, and it's like behind my mouse or something. Or the craziest place ever was she put it in the bottom of the sweet tea gallon. And so I'm pouring, I'm like, the lizard is in there. But so every now and then we would just hide it random places. And it was like our thing, you know. This is before Caleb and Anna were born. They don't even know about this probably. And so it was like our thing. And it was so much fun because you'd randomly find it. And the best time probably was when Charity, she put notes around the house giving me hints on where it was. And so I'd go find the note and it was like behind the stereo. And I look behind the stereo and it's another note. And so the note sent me around the house and it was like this treasure hunt. Trying to find the lizard. And we still have that lizard somewhere in the house. I wanted to bring it, and I know where it is, kind of. I just kind of want to dig for it. But it's a neat thing. So having to look for something you don't know where it is can be a lot of fun, right? And coming up in the church, we have the Easter egg hunt. And I've never been a part of this yet. I know Pastor Joe told me about it a long time ago. There's some cool things in there. Last year there was a Switch. There was a 50-inch TV, there's a $150 gift card. This year it's going to be some different prizes too. It's going to be so incredible. But I am pumped up about it. And the cool part to me is being able to just see the joy that people have, right? They go, who all here is going to go look for those eggs? Y'all crazy if you don't. Yeah, I don't know. I have to wait and see, right? And what's cool about it, right? The cool part is you know there's something valuable out there. And you get to go find it. You don't know where it is. You get to go find it. And if you can be the one to find it, how cool is that? So it can be a lot of fun to have to hunt for something and finding it. And so tonight, we're going to read a parable from Jesus about somebody who found something that they wanted so bad. They went and sold everything they had just so they could get it. And so they went on the ultimate treasure hunt. Better than even the egg hunt here. The treasure hunt they went on was incredible. So the main thing we're going to learn tonight is this. If you come away learning one thing, it's this, is that knowing Jesus is more valuable than everything else. Knowing Jesus is more valuable than everything else. We're going to look at Matthew 13, verse 44, and it says this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. We'll read it one more time. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold everything he had and he bought that field. We're going to break this down kind of word by word almost, phrase by phrase. And the first phrase we're going to look at is the kingdom of heaven is like. And so what Jesus is doing here, he's saying, I'm describing one thing, but I want to tell you what it's like by describing it a different way, right? And so he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like. So to understand what Jesus is even talking about, let's talk about what the kingdom of heaven is. Like, what is Jesus talking about? The kingdom of heaven, what is that? And so, yeah, I'm going to break it down real quick. Kingdom of heaven is this, and we could take a long time doing this, but I'm going to try to boil it down. It's these things, all right? Lock in with me here. It's the fact that God created you, and he wants a relationship with you. He has a crazy love for you that you can't even measure. And it's a love that is so big that sin separates you from him, but he loves you so much. He sent Jesus here to take all the punishment for your sin. And he did all of that because he loves you. That's the kingdom of heaven. And so when he talks about this treasure in the field, he talks about that. And the fact that that love, when he sent Jesus to die for you, you're an opposition with him, right? But if you believe in Jesus and what he did, you're become a child of God. That's what you transform into, a child of God. So that's the kingdom of heaven. And so what's it like? When you discover the kingdom of heaven, when you discover those things, that love he has for you, what's it like? Jesus says, it's like a treasure hidden in a field. A treasure. So years ago in Ohio, it's not a brain rot word, you don't laugh out there, in Ohio, the guy was working through his parents' house. So his parents died, they left him his house, and he's going through this house in the attic, and he sees this box, right? And he looks in this box, and he's like, what is that? And he sees it's a baseball card. It's a very, very old baseball card. And it's a Ty Cobb card from 1910, incredibly rare card. And so what he does, he takes his card and he sends it in to this place to get it authenticated. They grade the cards, and it comes back with a grade from like 1 to 10, 10 being the best. And it came back graded at 9. And at that time, there were 0 graded at a 9 in the whole world of this card. And so that card by itself is worth $250,000, the best card of this that had ever been found. Now, here's the crazier part. In that box, there were a bunch of other cards. There were a total of 16 of these, all graded 9 or above, when before there had been 0 in the world. Just this card worth $3 million, and there were a bunch of other cards in it. Can you imagine? Are y'all going to go home and look in your attics now and stuff? You're going to look, you're going to crawl, you're going to be pulling off board stuff off the wall. I don't blame you, right? Can you imagine finding that? That would be like one of the best days of my life. One of the best days of my life, right? Can you guys imagine that? The joy, the excitement of finding that. And so Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. I know I'd love to find something worth $3 million, but what Jesus is telling us here is that finding Jesus is worth more than any treasure you can possibly find. So think about the most valuable thing. If you're walking through your yard, the most valuable thing you could stumble across and find, like, oh my goodness, I just found a giant diamond that I can trade in for $30 million. What Jesus is saying is that when you find him, it's more valuable than that. It's even more valuable than anything. You can't put a price tag on knowing Jesus. So this guy finds a treasure in a field. How did he react? It says this. Next part of this verse says this. He hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold everything that he had. And so that part's really important. In his joy, he went and sold everything that he had. Something similar actually happened in 1828 in this little bitty town called Dahlonega, Georgia. And a guy was out there hunting. This is pre-Civil War. This is so long ago, almost 200 years ago now. And he's hunting out there, and he kicks over a rock, and he's like, oh, that rock looks different. What is that? He picks it up, and he's like, oh, my goodness, I just found gold. And then he finds another rock of gold, and he discovers, wait, there is gold here in Dahlonega, Georgia. And so what happens next, that little bitty town that was probably like maybe the size of Biola at the time, it had like a couple hundred people, you know, something like that. What happens next is people catch wind that there's gold in Dahlonega. And over the next few years, 15,000 people leave everything they have, and they go by horse and wagon across the country. Some people sailed in from around the world to get to Dahlonega, Georgia, to this little bitty town in Dahlonega, Georgia. 15,000 people ended up there. So if you look, in the year 1828, this is one of the top 10 most populated cities in the United States. It was number 8. The number 8 city today is Dallas, okay? And so can you imagine that? And this now, if you go to Dahlonega now, it's like half the size of Mountain Home. So you can't imagine, like, for that day and time, it being that big of a city. But what people did is they went and they sold everything they had and they flocked to Dahlonega. Why? Because there's something valuable there. And that's like the guy in our story that we're reading about. This is what he did. He went and he sold everything he had. He would have went and said, hey, I got some donkeys here. I got some cattle. I got my property. I have right now my house. I just need to get enough money to be able to buy that field, because in that field there's treasure. There's something more valuable than what I have right now. And him selling everything he had just enough money to go and get that field. Why in the world would he do that? Could you imagine selling everything you had? If I said, hey, I got something, there's something cool, you know, on the other side of Viola, but you got to sell everything. If you have a car, you got to sell it. If you have Jake's baseball cards, you got to sell your baseball cards. If you have your phone, you got to let go of your phone. Oof, that's hard, right? But you need enough money to buy that field. And it sounds crazy. But the guy not only did it, he was happy to do it. He was excited to do it. What would possess someone to do that? He knew what was in that field was that valuable. There was a treasure there. It's what possessed the people to leave and go to Dahlonega, is they knew they would find gold there that would be that valuable. That's what Jesus wants us to know from this story, is that knowing Jesus is more valuable than anything you can possibly have. All right? So when you discover Jesus and what he did for you and that he died for you and that, you know, he gave up everything. He left earthly throne. He left everything he had. And he came and he lived a life where it was difficult. He had to go through all the earthly stuff that ain't fun. He didn't have to do that. He did it because he loves you. And even now, when we wander off, I don't know about you guys, I've done some dumb stuff in my life. I've wandered off from God, knowingly doing it, intentionally doing it, choosing stuff over God. And in the middle of that, God not only sent Jesus, he saw me in the middle of my junk, and he reached out to me. I didn't give myself faith. I didn't open my own eyes to see the love God has for me. He did it for me when I let him do it. What kind of love is that? What kind of crazy love is that? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody here, a friend of yours that you're close to, turning their back on you and just doing the most hurtful thing possible to you? And then you saying, you know what? I know you did the wrong to me, but I love you so much. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to right all the wrongs myself. I know it's not my fault. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be your friend again. Jesus did that to a degree that we can't even measure and imagine. And so that's the treasure right there. It's not trying to play church. It's not trying to check all the boxes and look churchy and do the right things and act, you know, a certain way when we come in here. It's about understanding the love that God has for you that you cannot find anywhere else. That's the treasure hidden in the field. And he's calling us to understand what that is, to understand the value of that. Here's the tricky part about it, is that there are a lot of things out there that look like treasure and they aren't. And so back to Dahlonega, Georgia. There's a guy who was in Dahlonega, Georgia. This is actually my great-great-great-great-grandfather. And his name was Boney Tank. And Boney Tank, he's a legend in those parts. He actually is. They have like Dahlonega history books. He's in the history books. The New York Post wrote an article about him when he died. You can search him on the internet. He's on there. You'll find some stuff about him, like a couple, like his obituary and all that. And Hollywood actually came to my family in the 60s. They wanted to make a movie about him. And they said no, because they had repaired the family image. And Boney Tank, although he found Jesus on his deathbed, he converted and became a Christian right before he died. All the years before that are some dark years. He was not a good person. So the legend goes, he was a towering man, taller than everyone. That gene skipped me. That gene skipped me, right? Skipped my family. Sorry, Anna. We didn't get the gene. So he towered over everybody. And anybody who moved to Dahlonega would have to fight Boney Tank. And the legend is, he was the man who was never whipped. That's what they said back then. He never lost a fight. He was the first Georgian wounded in the Civil War. He lost his eye. They had a parade for him when he came home. There's like some crazy stories I will not tell up here. They're crazy. But one thing he would do is, imagine, again, Dahlonega is a place. Everybody's moving in to find gold. And so there's a lot of desperate people. And Yankees, as it says, you know, in the legend, Yankees came down from the north and wanted to find gold. And what Boney Tank would do, he said, I know where gold is. He would go and he would put some gold dust, which isn't even gold, some fake gold dust in his mouth with his chewing tobacco. And he would spit it in the ground, make it look all shiny. And he would say, gold. You know, and he would say, hey, there's gold in this cave. And he would sell them fake gold mines. And that's one thing he did. I don't suggest you doing that, but he did that. And the point I'm trying to show you is this. The way that Boney Tank would create this illusion of treasure, the devil will come along and he will create this illusion of treasure in your life. If you will just act like everybody at school, they're going to like you. If you will, hey, just vape some. It's going to make you feel better right now. Your friends are doing it. People are going to think you're cool because of it. You'll be accepted. Jump in with it. I could go on and on with these examples. Use your imagination. The enemy comes along and he pulls at us, making us think something is treasure. This is what can make me feel better. This can make me look better. This will make me happier. And what you don't see, it's just like those fake gold mines that bony tank sold, the enemy is selling you a fake gold mine. It's fake treasure. It's not real treasure. And it's really hard to see that when you are your age and you're in the middle of it. It's hard to see it. But what Jesus is telling us tonight is that there's only one treasure to be found. And what Jesus offers you is something that will not let you down. The treasure that he gives you will not run out. Back to the story of Dahlonega, 1828, people flocked there for years. They find gold, but the town just boomed. Eventually, the gold ran out, and all the people left. And they went to, part of Dahlonega was called Auraria Dahlonega, so they went to this place in Colorado, and they named it after that little part of Dahlonega called Auraria. Went to Colorado because there was gold there. And that Auraria, Colorado, ended up becoming Denver. It's now named Denver. And so everybody left, and they went to find gold somewhere else. And then that gold ran out, and they tried to go somewhere else. The things that the enemy wants to sell you, the gold and the things that look shiny here, are going to run out. They will let you down. It's great to have friendships. If you put your hope in a friend, it's going to let you down at some point because people aren't perfect. If you put your hope in being accepted by people and being popular, that's going to let you down. Jesus will not let you down. He is the true treasure that is out there. And that's the word that I really felt God laying on me tonight. I feel like there's a lot of people here who need to hear this. Hey, I need to rehear this every now and then. Because there are a lot of things that can pose as treasure and look shiny, but in the end, they don't hold up, guys. They don't hold up. But what God is saying to us tonight is that he is a true treasure. And so I think there's probably a couple of groups of people here tonight. If everybody would, let's stand up together. There's probably a couple of groups of people here tonight. Maybe you're walking with Jesus. You know him. You love him. You're trying to do your best for him. He doesn't want you to forget this fact, right? He doesn't want you to forget the fact that he is a true treasure. And there's some other people here who you know all about God. You've heard sermons like this. You've been around church. You know, you've heard all about what Jesus has done. But right now, you're going to some of those fake gold mines. And what God would say to you today is what this person in the story did, in Jesus' parable did. He went and sold everything he had. Following Jesus is going to cost you something. It's just the reality of it. But a call from him is to say, hey, everything else you have, all the friendships, all the cool stuff you might get, trying to make yourself happy by doing this, this, or this, it might work for a little while, but if you could truly have your eyes opened and understand this is a calculation thing, where if you add up all the things you could get, it still doesn't equal how great Jesus is. And so the challenge today isn't just to try to willpower your way into following God. It's not to just try to come to church enough to make yourself feel better. It's none of that. It is letting God reach down into your heart and show you how valuable he is and knowing him is. And then once you get that, once he's helping you to see that, it's a letting go of everything else. Guys, you can try to hold on to this world and hold on to Jesus, and you're just never going to be happy with either one. Because you're going to end up not truly having the Lord, and you're going to also be unhappy trying to run away from God, in or out, one or the other. And what Jesus is saying tonight is that he has a place for you, and he has a love for you. He is the treasure. The love he has for you, dying for you, is the treasure. You can't find it in other stuff, guys. And so the call today is a call of surrender. Like the guy in the field, he sold everything and he found the treasure. That's the challenge to all of us tonight. Are you willing to let go of the things you're holding on to, the way you want to live? Are you willing to let go of that for Jesus? That's the challenge tonight. All eyes closed and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for a love that we can't measure. We thank you for the desire you have for us to know you. It's not just a passive love. God, it's a love that's an aggressive love that's just hungry for us to know you. so much that you came down to us. You offered your own life on the cross. You bled and died. You went through agony and torment. Why would you do that? Because you love us. And because you know that in you is everything that's better. And so God, right now, tear down the walls that are in some hearts. I ask that you would unveil the eyes that are here where they might not be able to see this love. The enemy's just got them tricked in this fake gold mine. I ask for vision to be restored, spiritual vision to be restored right now, where people can once again see. Maybe they saw it at one point, and they've been in the fake gold mine too long, and they forgot what real treasure is. Tonight, let eyes be opened in the name of Jesus. So if you're here today, and you're living in a fake gold mine that's apart from Jesus, and you're trying to just make life work for you, and you miss Jesus, you just miss him, I want you to just step on forward. Come on up front. We're going to pray with you. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what somebody next to you is thinking. Don't worry about it. Jesus is worth it. Thank you, guys. We're not going to rush through this part. I want everybody to come down here who feels like that even might be them. If you're even questioning whether or not you need to get right with the Lord, it means you need to get right with the Lord. God, I just thank you for all those who are coming down. And adults, if you would, just start come surrounding these teens. God, we just thank you that you're at work in this place. We thank you that, God, there are hearts here who want to repent and turn. Hearts here who miss treasure. They miss it. They've been filling it up with things that run out. They run dry, and they get to these points in their week. They get to these points again over and over where they realize how tired they are of running. I ask that you would just lift them up right now. Lift up every person in this place. If you're a teen and you feel like your heart's good with the Lord, you can come surround some others. And if you're not up front, I would just ask that you be respectful, pray at your seats, and spend some time with the Lord. We're going to wait here and just let God do what he's doing.